The fucking wonders of the modern world, I guess. So, you know what I think we should do?
Yes. What do you think we should do? I mean, what do you think we should do?
What? Yeah, how would you know? I haven't told you yet. One of us should just always open, and one of us should always close the podcast, right?
Yeah.
So either you or I always do the intro, and then whoever does the intro doesn't do the conclusion, right?
Right.
So do you want to welcome people, or do you want to usher them out?
I feel like I'm a more welcoming presence, so maybe I'll welcome people in.
I would agree, and I'm definitely better at throwing people out of places, yes. I'm glad we are simpatico on this.
Yeah.
All right.
Go
ahead.
All right.
Go ahead. It's all you. It's yours. You can go now. It's all yours.
All right. Here we go. Are you ready? You're going to have to say that you're Sean momentarily.
I'm ready. Levels look pretty high again. I don't know. All right.
You want to adjust levels first?
I know. I hit record. We're going. My audio will just be blown out. It's happened before, so I'm not afraid of it now.
Hey, and welcome to Heads Up with Jeff and Sean. I'm Jeff. I have allergies.
Oh, jeez. What? No, go do again. You talked over where I introduced myself.
Hey, and welcome to Heads Up with Jeff and Sean. I'm Jeff.
I'm Sean.
I'm the one with allergies.
Oh, okay. I didn't know you were doing a bit.
That out there.
You didn't warn me. You just... I'm trying to put my name on this fucking product. Trying to tag it with the old Sean take. And you come in and you're doing bits.
God. It's not a bit. I have allergies.
Yeah, okay? I don't know. I think you're playing them up.
You know? I got sniffles. I got a throat thing. So I'm going to sound weird. I think I'll sound weird. So people will be ready for it.
I think you're playing it up.
You're right. I've never been allergic to anything.
So there you go. What do we do? What do we do in this fucking already train wrecked podcast?
Oh, I gotta set it up, right?
Yeah, give them a little.
Yeah. Give them a little taste. give them a reason to stick around.
You gotta hurry up because I got people on Facebook messaging me now because they see me just sitting on Facebook. They assume I'm not doing anything.
On the podcast, you know, we start off by talking about our friend Kyle's social media. This year, 2017, we're talking about wizards, and then we're going to talk about candy later. That's what we're going to do.
All right.
Does that sound about right, Sean?
We talk about what accurate. Kyle does on social media. We talk about Harry Potter. We're almost done with the Harry Potter movies. And then we talk
Thank
about candy.
God.
Yeah, I think that hits the checklist. All right. Let's All do right. the first thing then. Let's do the first thing we listed.
First thing we listed, you mean Kyle's click?
The internet gave us a whole world of exciting new possibilities. So I guess this is a story of how it changed our lives. Maybe it will yours too.
Yeah, that's a pretty little song.
That is where I put my little song.
And we're in it. Okay. Let's see. Since we recorded the last episode, Kyle has done nothing on Facebook that I think matters. Oh, no. Okay. He wants Texas to fire its senators, which... Do you fire a senator?
I don't know.
You can vote him out of office, but...
Yeah. It's a job, so I guess you could be fired, but if you're not their boss, you can't fire them, so...
Yeah.
You just vote somebody else in.
Sorry, I moved on. It was boring. I'm sorry. What did you want to say?
No, it's all right.
No.
I've said it. Whether you heard it or not, it doesn't matter. Okay.
It might be a gold mine. Though.
It's recorded. It wasn't. Trust me.
Okay. all right. Yeah, a song he likes, and then something about the American Health Care Act. And that's it, right?
Yeah.
That's all he's done since we last recorded.
Yeah, he is. Social media titan.
He's very focused on his politics. I think it makes him unhappy.
Focusing on the politics or politics make him unhappy in general?
I think politics in general. I think...
Yeah.
Kyle, I don't ever see you enjoying politics. I don't know. I don't get it.
Yeah.
I don't enjoy stuff. I avoid it, right?
That's right. Talk about something else. You know, there's plenty of stuff out there.
And what about his Twitter here?
Let's get a look.
Well, I mean, there's nothing else on Facebook. I know this is quick, but
no, it's good. It's good. I like it. Okay, there's nothing to do here. Just gotta check it out.
We're just scoping it out. We're moving on.
Yeah.
Sally Yates is a fan. I don't know who that is.
You love Sally Yates. She's a hero.
He's praising. I don't know. All right. Is she an astronaut or something? Sounds like an astronaut name.
What he needs to do is, like, add her name with, like, an at reply so that, you know, we could click on her and see what her Twitter page is, see who she is, but...
Well, if she's an astronaut, like I assume, they don't get Twitter in space, so...
That's a lie. You get Twitter in space. I've seen astronauts tweet.
Yeah, when they get back.
They video chat and everything. No.
They fucking stop. Yeah, they video chat. You have all the video chat you want in space. It's solar powered.
Sean, have you ever heard of a type of internet called DSL or direct satellite link? They're the closest to those satellites.
Well, I know a different acronym for DSL, but...
I don't.
Well, I'm not going to teach it to you because it is lewd and crude.
Sean, you're going to make me look it up and ruin my internet history.
Yeah, I am. Yeah. Well, let's see. What else? No. The satellites are up there.
Yeah.
You said a wrong thing that I have to correct you on. The satellites are up there to bounce the internet back down to the Earth.
Oh, yeah. They can only bounce in one direction.
Yeah. Down to the Earth. We're not giving fucking space aliens goddamn tweets, shooting them out into the darkness of space.
Sean, I wish you could hear how ignorant you sound right now.
Well, I never will. And I won't learn. I won't learn from anything I've said here. So your wish has not been granted and will never be granted.
I'm just saying astronauts can tweet from space. It's possible.
I think the government's fucking pulling the wool over your eyes, man. They got a bunch of friggin' nerdlingers. They got a bunch of brainiacs.
Yeah.
Bunch of egg-headed dorks sitting in a room.
Yeah.
What do you think Sally Yates would tweet? Something about space, haha! And then they high-five and they go back to their fucking Dungeons & Dragons game. You fucking idiots! Just can't respect anybody who's ever played Dungeons & Dragons, I'm sorry.
Listen, clearly everyone at NASA's a nerd, but... They definitely talk to them while they're in space, and whether they tweet directly from a cell phone telephone in space, a computer, or they talk via radio and say, hey, tweet this out for my account, bro.
That's not tweeting, though. That means someone is quoting them.
Not if they're using their Twitter account.
Jeff, I'm up in space, all right?
Mm-hmm, go ahead.
And I video call you. Hey, Jeff, how's it going? No, it's fine. That's how you sound.
Oh, my God. That sounds exactly like it.
You're welcome. Everybody's got a gift, and mine just happens to be impersonations. And you were talking for a while, and I say just the perfect thing. It's less than 140 characters.
Uh-huh.
It's just perfect. And then you log into my Twitter account, and you type it up and hit enter, or click on tweet, or however you... I don't really use Twitter. I don't know. That's not me tweeting. That's you quoting a thing I said, and then you're putting it in a tweet. Yeah. Totally different things. Astronauts don't tweet from space.
No.
You know what? If astronauts do tweet from space, and the space program, I don't think tweets belong in space.
Shauna, I hate to say something like this again, but you're being glib, okay?
I'm being glib.
You think Kim Kardashian West tweets every tweet she's ever had? No. Okay, she's got social media person.
Whoop.
Tweet around.
Nope. We are away from Kyle's Twitter, and we are going to look at what Kim Kardashian tweets. Kim Kardashian West. Let's see. Everything I'm currently obsessed with on my app now. Okay, so a self-promotion for her app, and it looks like a shitty dream board that's just pictures of her in tight dresses. And a single picture of her and her child. Okay. Yes, I believe that she could have tweeted that.
Yeah, it's believable. But the only reason you believe that is because she's not currently in space.
Just there's a lot of pics of her and her kid.
Yeah.
So this just looks like anybody's. This just looks like anybody's Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if she was in space, she'd have to tell.
Yeah.
Her kid Yeah, this is all stuff that she tweeted.
I don't want to call kangaroo court on you, but...
Why? Well, first of all, I don't know what that means. Second of all, why?
There's no way she tweets every tweet.
Why?
She's never posted. And I don't think any celebrity does.
First of all, it's not hard to tweet. You have to keep it under 140 characters. Boom.
Well,
they go busy lives, it fits right in. Just saying. And you know what?
Yeah.
Kim Kardashian West, she's got a lot of retweets here. How hard is that? You see a thing, boom, retweet.
Yeah. I mean, does BlackBerry even have a Twitter app? Because I think she famously still likes BlackBerries and uses a BlackBerry.
How much do you know about Kim Kardashian West?
Enough.
Let me ask you this. What kind of phone do I like?
What phones do you like?
What kind of phone is my favorite kind of phone?
I don't think you like phones.
Jeff, we've been friends for what, 20 years, something? Like 15. And you don't know what kind of phone I like?
Wow, you count us being friends much later than I do. That hurts a little bit.
What are you talking about?
I'm just saying. Celebrities do have people that will tweet on their behalf to manage their account. Much like an astronaut, who is also busy doing important things, may have someone tweet on their behalf.
But when someone does that, it's not that person tweeting. That's the crux of my argument. When Kim Kardashian West famously hands off her BlackBerry to her kid, and the kid tweets out some, I don't know, some promotion for kids' clothes, then that's not Kim tweeting. That's her kid, probably quoting something that Kim said. Like, I wish other children would buy these clothes, and then she hands the kid the phone. Sorry, the BlackBerry. Famously, the BlackBerry.
I'm saying she probably doesn't have a Twitter app on her BlackBerry. Someone's tweeting from an iPhone for her.
I don't think so. Can I be done with Twitter? I'm tired of scrolling through Kim Kardashian West's Twitter feed.
Yeah.
May 5th, a lot of retweets of her. She's retweeting people saying her kids' clothing line is great.
It's all about that self-promotion. Her Twitter feed's about as interesting as Kyle's, so I think Kyle could be famous one day.
I know. Well, except here's the thing. I think Kim Kardashian West is made very happy by the amount of money that her tweets make, and Kyle profits nothing whatsoever from his political things. Solution, Kyle starts a children's clothing line. Oh, yes! We did it.
We've done it.
It could have stuff like... You know, you get like a sweater that says "Your President."
Yeah. little knit caps, you know, glasses.
What do the knit caps say? Did you see what I was doing? You gotta make it Kyle, but the only thing he does on social, it's like a.
Yeah.
Do you need another example?
The hats will say. Yeah, three. I need three examples.
Well, Jeff, we're bi hosts. We got to make these examples together. It's back and forth. It's give and take.
Fine. Hashtag Sally Yates is a hero. That's what the hat says.
Well, that's now you're just quoting him.
Is your phone blown up now?
No. I was just looking aimlessly down at my desk, quietly wishing Kyle's click was over.
Your wishes come true, okay?
Excellent.
This week we finished the final Harry Potter movie, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, Part 2.
The second one.
Sean, Part 2.
Are you glad to be done with Harry Potter?
Yes.
I am too. They did not hold up, these films. They're not very good.
No.
So, when the movie starts, there's like, I don't know, somewhere early on, but there's this scene of Snape standing at, I don't know if it was a giant window or if there's a corridor that just ends and then you're outside. But I thought he was going to jump out of it as he's watching. He's like standing there watching the students march in, and they, for some reason, they're in the formation. Like they're.
Yeah, now they march. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? I think he does make a better headmaster than Dumbledore. Kids are all in line marching.
Organized. They're probably learning magic. You know, not just war magic. I think the the lies have been stripped away from Hogwarts, and it does much more resemble a military school now. Its core essence. Yeah, there's none of the frilly nonsense that Dumbledore used to hide it. We see that terrible headstone for Dobby that they lightly etch some words into, and those words are gone in a month. Salt water spraying on it. Come on.
They wanted to do it for real, okay? I bet they could have had a nice headstone if they used a little bit of magic.
Any magic whatsoever?
Did nobody get Dobby's birthday? They couldn't say from this day to this day.
And it's just loose sand piled on top of his corpse.
Yeah.
I know we talked about it, but wild dogs. Oh, man.
And I think it's a nice idea to bury him, have a gravestone, but I'm guessing someone like Slughorn's going to come around and try to dig up his bones, because I'm sure house elf bones have magical properties that can be used in potions.
Yeah, I mean, if Slughorn doesn't, then Mundungus will.
Yeah. I'm just saying his body's not going to be there in a week. They just wasted time.
Yeah, it was just a huge waste of time. They could have just gone, let's burn it with magic.
Yeah.
Send him off to a Viking funeral. Yeah. He went out in combat.
They're at the ocean. Yeah.
These kids. So they're hiding in a beach house owned by one of the aunts, one of the weasel aunts.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like, do the Death Eaters not know to look for them at family members' property?
Is there no registry of deeds? Is there no building where all that stuff is? It's just prophecies and vaults full of gold and shit?
Terrible mismanagement by the ministry.
Do they not collect income, property tax?
No. The goblins just go in, they scoop up a couple handfuls of gold from your vault. Boom, you're done. Harry's got to talk to the goblin Griphook, I think.
I don't know, they never use his name. They use his name later on, but, I gotta go talk to the goblin.
Jesus. He calls him the goblin. Yeah, I'm just gonna call him the goblin forever, too, because it doesn't matter. Talks to the goblin and Ollivander. The goblin immediately apparently recognizes the Sword of Gryffindor as the real Sword of Gryffindor, and there's a fake in Bellatrix's vault that Snape gave her. And they have an Ocean's 11 moment with the goblin, where they're like, we need your help to break into the bank.
I wish this movie had been an entire thing of planning the heist and then performing the heist, and then the heist looking like it went wrong, but that was all part of the heist.
Yeah.
And then they got away with that sword, and that was it. They could have made this a 3-part movie series.
Yeah. But nope, they just dragged it out with a bunch of stuff. I don't know, we'll get to the stuff. There's also... So at the end of the last movie... Bellatrix flips out because she sees that guy holding the Sword of Gryffindor. And she's like, where did you get this? Bellatrix thinks that Hermione and Ron, at the very least, were able to break into her vault at the bank. Gringotts Bank. I'm just going to call it the bank.
Yeah.
Fucking fantasy bullshit names make me feel like I'm a nerd playing Dungeons & Dragons. Fucking idiots. Burn. Wizards aren't real, dummies. If Bellatrix thinks that these two high school dropouts, Hermione and Ron, can break into a bank vault to steal this sword, why is her next move not going to pick up the Horcrux? Why doesn't she go get it out of there, since she knows that the vault isn't safe anymore?
She already thinks it's compromised.
Yeah. And instead she's just like, you know what, they did it once, but kids, it's fine where it is.
And is Harry Potter and Dumbledore the only people that know about that sword, that it comes to those who need it? You know what I mean? You keep it in a vault, it's going to just disappear and go to someone who needs it?
That's my very next note, is that... So the goblin knows... he wants the Sword of Gryffindor as a trade, right? For his help to break into the bank. Yeah. And he knows enough about the sword to identify it on sight. He doesn't touch the goddamn... He looks at it and he goes, that's the real one. But he doesn't know that whenever it's needed, it's just gonna fucking appear to whoever needs it. And he's in no way is he ever gonna be able to keep the sword.
Yeah.
It was rapid fire. This doesn't make sense. This doesn't make sense. This doesn't make sense. And it's just not a great way to start a film.
Yeah, if he knew that, he could just sell fakes all day.
Yeah, exactly. Why isn't the market flooded with fake swords that only goblins can tell apart? They go to talk to Ollivander too, and he said the phrase wandlore.
Yeah,
only those who study wandlore would know, and he just sounds like an asshole. Like.
Well, here's the thing, is that means that a lot of people don't believe that the wands choose wizards and have their own little personalities and stuff. So either he is legitimately insane about that, or these other wizards that believe in so many like mystical, magical things are like, nah.
Yeah,
he writes a column for Luna's Dad's magazine. He's crazy.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is exactly a Luna Lovegood situation, where he's like the wand expert. And then everyone's like, you keep talking about wands like they're real people. That doesn't make sense. And he's like, no, like my whole life's work is wands, and the wand picks the wizard. And it's, you're crazy, man. You're crazy.
Are there other wand salesmen out there that just hand out whatever wands they want, just like out of a box, give it to somebody, and then either they work or they don't?
Well, they got to have, like, remember in Goblet of Fire, those other schools showed up? Like, those countries, France and Russia have to have their own wand sellers, like... Not everyone's just going to pop by Diagon Alley to Ollivander's to pick up a wand when they need it.
Well, now that everybody can teleport, who knows?
Well, all the wizards could always do that. I don't know why they... I don't...
They waited like 4 movies.
Because the trace is off them or something? I don't know. Also, Harry, when he's talking to Ollivander, who is he's an old man... He doesn't look well. He's definitely been tortured.
Yeah.
Harry calls him a liar, and then puts almost the entire burden of the Elder Wand being in Voldemort's possession on Ollivander. He's like, you told him where it was. You told him who had it. He's got it now, you fucking piece of shit. And it's just like, all right, Harry, chill out. The dude's been through a lot. He feels bad. Relax.
You just teleported him out of a dungeon 20 minutes ago. You don't bring him any food or any water. You just go up there. You ask him leading questions that you know the answer to. And the second he's like, well, I don't know. I mean, hey, listen, you start just shitting on him.
What did you want from him? They gave him a 5-minute break so that they could scrape out the shallowest grave for Dobby. They isolated him in a room.
What information did they gain from doing that to Ollivander?
None. Like, none whatsoever.
Like, oh, I can use Draco Malfoy's wand, but I shouldn't use Bellatrix's.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, Malfoy, Draco's wand, it has changed its allegiance. Sounds like a piece of shit wand. Can you imagine if you could do magic with a wand, and then some dude knocks it out of your hand, and then it's just his wand now? That's how criminals work.
It'd be like someone knocked your cell phone out of your hand and you tried to get into it and wouldn't let you in.
Yeah.
You're using the same passcode and then that guy picks it up and you can get in.
Yeah.
It's like, what the fuck?
I'm sorry, it changes the allegiance. It only accepts his thumbprint now. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. The wand chooses the wizard? Well, shouldn't you be taking money from the stupid wand then? And I should just be taking this? I'm not choosing it.
That's a good point, yeah. And it's just, oh man, I hate this wizard world. I hate it. It's terrible.
Harry brags about how much gold he has when he's talking to the goblin.
Yep.
So much gold.
So much in my vault. Thanks for keeping it safe, piece of shit. Oh, earn it? No, I inherited it from my parents.
Yeah. I have so much gold. I wouldn't even notice if maybe a few hundred thousand pieces of it were missing. When you go back to work, I don't know.
I've never counted it, no. A half-giant brought me there my first year going to Hogwarts, and I just...
A half-giant who definitely doesn't know math.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Lived in a shack next to the... So, later... That's going to sound, if I leave that in, like a jump cut, but I just got bored with my sentence and moved on. So, Potter, when they're breaking into the bank, uses the Imperious Curse on a goblin.
Yeah.
So I guess the forbidden curses don't mean much.
They're operating outside the law now, okay?
Yeah, well, either they don't mean much because he's the chosen one, he can just do whatever the fuck he wants, or it doesn't matter if you mind control goblins, right? The fucking greedy bankers. Come on. This was egregious. This was.
He is under that curse when a dragon eats him. So Harry Potter is absolutely directly responsible for that guy's death.
Oh yeah, yeah. That dragon burns him to death. Yeah, because he thinks he's got one of those clacker things because he's still under the Imperius curse. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't feel bad about that at all, I don't think. They're too busy trying to save their own hides. Also, the bank vaults are just giant. It just looks like a giant cave.
Yes.
Like, why can't people teleport in?
I don't know. There's got to be, you know, some of those protection spells that prevents people from teleporting in, just like how Dobby could teleport into the Malfoy's house, different places, but Harry Potter can't for some reason. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe take Dobby off the list of people who can get through that curse, you know?
I like the, so they're walking past the dragon and they're literally just walking past it. They are in no hurry to get to this bank vault, past this dragon. They're just like, yeah, whatever. It expects pain when it hears this noise. And Hermione has the fucking gall to try to call the goblin on this, like, oh, that's horrific. It's like, oh my god. Like, maybe, but you're letting him ring that thing. Like, you to accomplish your goals, you have become complicit in this.
I also watch you not give a shit when a house elf died because he's a slave race. Earlier today, so I kind of don't buy this holier than now.
You remember 5 minutes ago when one of your closest friends used a forbidden curse on a goblin and you said fucking nothing?
Yeah.
Oh, this poor dragon. Oh, boo-hoo. These kids are unbelievable. All right. Oh, and later, right after this, I know I'm jumping around. If there's anything I'm skipping over you want to talk about, please. Yeah. I was going to say, they fly over London, out in the open, middle of the day, on this dragon.
Yeah.
They just fly away on it. Like, no one looks up. No single ministry person looks up and goes, yeah, it's a fucking dragon. That shouldn't be flying out in the air.
We should definitely see where that goes.
Maybe we should check it out.
Broomstick.
Yeah.
They can't put tracers on every registered dragon that's in the city, just in case.
No, I'm sorry. The dragons aren't minors. Can only put tracers on minors, okay? Without their parents' knowledge.
And on their way out on this dragon, so many goblins die.
Oh, yeah.
Security guards, bank tellers, just dead.
And you know what? They are just responsibly responding to the call of a theft in the vault. Like, those are law-abiding goblins showing up to protect what's in the vault like they're supposed to do. It's their job.
They assured people that they could be trusted with their valuables, you know? So,
well,
we
learned from the goblin that was with Harry Potter that you can't trust. You can never trust a goblin when there's a profit to be made.
Hey, listen,
Jeff, I'll tell you, these goblin bankers with their long noses and their obsession with gold. let me just tell you,
that he stuck to the letter of their agreement, stuck right down to the word.
That pretty much, yeah. It's like, it's kind of not his fault that they're idiots.
Yeah. Just like any other great magical creature, you know, it's tricksy.
Well, imagine you're this goblin and you help these kids who, I mean, technically from their point of view, they rescued you.
But yeah.
You are now with a trio of notorious outlaws. Harry Potter, for the past, 6 years, has killed someone or been associated or been the only witness to a murder at Hogwarts, like, every single fucking year.
He's undesirable number one currently.
Yeah. This kid shows up and he goes, hey, you're going to help me break into the bank you work at. Like, this goblin's got to be faster on his feet to figure out a way to survive this goddamn encounter with Harry Potter. Yeah. And he does it.
Yeah. Yeah. He was so close to getting out till he jumped on that dragon and broke the floor.
I think he got away.
No, they show him dead on the floor, and then the sword disappears. Right.
The sword disappears like it was always going to, so yeah. They didn't even have to kill him.
Yeah. They did anyway.
Well, it's just in their nature.
You don't betray Harry Potter.
Well, you know why? They killed him because that's what Dumbledore would have done. He would have fucking killed every single person on his way out. So they escape and they go talk to Dumbledore's brother.
Mm-hmm.
This is essentially his first appearance, even though...
Yeah, well, they don't know they're going to his brother, right? They're trying to sneak into Hogwarts by going to the town near Hogwarts.
Hogsmeade. Yeah. Yeah, and, I forgot about that. For some reason, I blanked out on that. Probably because it was boring.
Oh, yeah. And then his brother's just like, what are you, dumb? Get in here.
Kind of goddamn morons are you? Like,
then goes, hey, that guy you really like, don't you know he's a pile of garbage? You know he's a piece of shit?
I love how many people talk shit about Dumbledore now that he's dead.
Almost immediately.
Anytime somebody brings him up now that he's dead, they just shit all over him.
But it does confirm that he was power hungry.
Yep. Yep.
And that he sacrificed his own sister for more power. So
in what manner?
They were very vague.
Yeah. They never. I mean, his brother just says it, but
yeah,
he helps them get into Hogwarts.
Yeah,
Hermione is the only one who thanks this guy who saves them from Death Eaters, hides them from Death Eaters, feeds them, gives them things to drink, and then gives them away into Hogwarts. And she's the only one who... And Ron and Harry look at her like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And she's like, he fucking helping us out, guys.
Yeah, he said Dumbledore was a piece of shit, though.
He was mean to the principal of the school I used to go to, who's dead now. Jesus.
He has a different life experience with somebody than I do.
Yeah. Well, you know, Jeff, people are either all one way or all another, okay?
It's true.
You can easily classify everyone in the world as either good or evil. Yeah. That's it.
Especially if they've lived for over 100 years. They've definitely never changed or done anything different.
No, of course not. No. That's the kind of education you're going to get at Hogwarts, okay? Harry returns, and everybody cheers, like, hooray, this dropout came back. And so, they're standing
finally
around...
Finally something waiting to do.
Yeah. They're standing around listening to Harry give a speech. Yeah. And Luna Lovegood's there. She went back to school? Well,
yeah.
I don't... Why?
She left the safe house, was like, you know what? Midterms are in a week, I gotta get back.
I got a lot of
How did she get back in?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, weren't you the girl that was in the dungeon? Didn't Harry Potter take you somewhere? Shouldn't Voldemort be hot on your tail right now?
Nope. Nope, sorry. It's just... on top of this movie not being super interesting, it was, like, actually poorly made, it seemed like. Like, the obvious logic of the sword being overlooked. Bellatrix not taking the horse. Like, just all these things that just do not make sense.
Characters conveniently where you need them.
Yeah. So apparently there's some people, disciplinarians, that get a little rough.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. With some of the students. But then again, the last thing we see, what's-his-face doing... Neville Longbottom. The last thing we see him doing is insulting strangers on a train.
Yeah.
Like, last movie, that's the last thing we saw of him. He'd be like, he's not on here, idiots! Like, I can't imagine that attitude is going to get you very far in Hogwarts under Snape, so...
Yeah. I mean, they all learn from Harry Potter when he was, like, fucking mouthed off to Umbridge the first day. He's like, yeah, we don't take shit from anybody.
Voldemort's back, and I'm the chosen one! How much attention do you think Harry really needs in a day? Do you think it's got to be constant?
Ginny must be depressed AF. That's life.
Oh, yeah.
And you know he tells a story, like, every day the rest of his life. And any person he meets, You know, she's going to sit there and hear about all fucking 7 years. Yeah, and then I told the ministry, like, Voldemort was back, right? But they didn't believe me. But they found out real quick.
So then I broke into the ministry itself and destroyed every prophecy ever. And then I battled Voldemort one-on-one, and then the minister saw, and he had to quit. And everyone believed me then, because I was right. Yeah, like, that's the rest of her poor fucking life. Oh, Snape somehow knows that Potter's there, somehow, yeah, for some reason.
Because everyone in Gryffindor is cheering after, well, yeah, after he knows that Harry Potter's at Hogsmeade or whatever. And then they broadcast it over a radio signal saying lightning has struck.
Yeah, the code word needs some work. Yeah, I agree on that. Definitely needs some work.
And is that there's a company that made Marauder's Map. You think they only made one copy? They probably sold. Snape probably has a copy.
Was there? I thought, well, like, yeah, Harry's dad and his friends made it.
Oh, really? I thought it was made by a company. I don't know.
I don't know either. But I don't know why.
It can be, I mean, it can be made.
Yeah, I was going to say, if someone made it, it could just be made again. So,
yeah, Snape's smart enough to do that.
And so the other thing is, though, that the whole Order of the Phoenix, yeah, shows up at Hogwarts to challenge Snape. To, yeah, like, get Harry's back when Harry's standing there. Oh, how dare you stand where he stood? Like, every single member of the Order of the Phoenix is there. Why is this high school, yeah, so fucking important?
I know. This is after they're in Dumbledore's brother's house, and he goes, yeah, the Order of the Phoenix is no longer a thing anymore. It's failed. Just round all the members up and bring them through this little tunnel. I just told you they don't exist anymore.
It's so dumb. Yeah,
oh my god. They all go there to back Harry Potter up. They don't even know what he's doing there. They know he's hunting Horcruxes, right?
Yeah. But the other thing, the only one who actually does anything is McGonagall.
Yeah.
Snape, yeah, takes his wand out, and McGonagall, like, steps in the way and throws some spells at him.
Yeah.
And he runs away. They put literally... This is the part I was talking about. They put literally every member of Slytherin in jail.
Yeah.
For being in Slytherin, because one lady was like, what are you waiting for?
One lady's like, no. Here... That's a dumb move, too, because I guarantee not everybody in Hufflepuff or Ravenclaw is down for Harry Potter taking over the school.
Yeah.
You should have started out by saying, okay, you're right, okay, let's take a vote. Everybody who wants Harry Potter to take over the school, stand over here. Everybody that doesn't, stand over there. And then once everybody's made their decision, lock those people up. Okay? Slytherin make good leaders.
Yeah. 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 Well, not only, like, Ravenclaw and Hufflepuff might not be 100% behind Harry Potter, but I bet Slytherin's not 100% against him either. Yeah. Like, I don't know why that's just the assumption.
I bet there's some Gryffindor people that were pretty loyal to Cedric that might have a couple of bones to pick with Harry Potter.
Yeah. Like, hey, guys, it's great that Harry Potter is back. I'm sure we all love it. But do you guys remember the last 6 years where corpses kept showing up in this middle school, high school, and he was associated with it every single time?
You guys notice how no one's even come close to dying this year yet? And then he shows up.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, well, here's the thing. I bet those kids didn't feel safe speaking up because they felt like they'd get murdered.
Yeah. But it's not like they put him in jail very well, because Draco Malfoy comes in, because he's also dropped out of school, and he just grabs his two cronies and said, hey, don't go to jail. Come this way.
Well, that's because McGonagall made the genius decision to put them all in jail, and she put the janitor in charge, who doesn't and can't use magic. She said, hey, janitor, take these several dozen magical teenagers who can definitely use magic and put them in a room. You can handle that, right? Even though you don't use magic? Cool. Cool. And, yeah, and then they just break out later, and they're running all over the place, and it's not really clear whether they're helping or hindering. They kind of just drop that plot thread. They're just like, can all Slytherin be trusted? We don't know and we don't care. Yeah.
Well, everybody's in the Great Hall. They move Slytherin to the dungeon. And then when they decide to start working out their plans, for some reason, there's kids coming up and down stairs in random directions as they try to move through to find this Horcrux.
Yeah.
Like, where are they coming from? What are they doing?
For the next half hour, kids just run through the halls and up and down stairs, and there's literally a crowd everywhere.
Go from the Great Hall to around the perimeter of Hogwarts, because you're going to get shot at pretty soon.
Yeah. Yeah. Leave the soul murder to the professionals.
Yeah. Your Operation Bullet Catching.
There's a point where McGonagall says... Someone says, you know who. I forget what professor. I forget his name. He's not in the movie.
It was the other goblin. It was the guy that runs Chorus or whatever, wasn't it?
Is he a goblin?
Or an elf? But
I don't know. I don't. He might just be.
He could be a short guy with pointy ears, I guess.
Yeah. But he says, you know who, and McGonagall says, his name is Voldemort. You might as well use it because he'll kill you either way. His name is actually Tom Riddle, and I feel like McGonagall knows that. So I don't know why she's perpetuating this Lord Voldemort nonsense.
Yeah, like if I was going around, you know, bullying people, and I created my own nickname, do you think people would want to use that? They'd probably call me Jeff.
Jeff's going to get you. Oh, Tommy's going to get you.
Now that you brought it up, Jeff, if you were going around bullying people, and you had a tough guy name, what would that name be? let's do a little brainstorm sesh. I have to know.
You have to know what my tough guy name would be?
I have to know what your tough guy name would be. I have to know. I'm sorry.
I mean, I want to say Brutilius, but that's only because I think it's a great name.
You think Brutilius is a great name?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. I wasn't judging you. I know it sounded like that because it's just how my voice works. When I ask questions, it always sounds like insulting or demeaning. That's not what I mean. It's not intentional. It just happens that way.
Well, speaking of bullying, what would your name be?
I don't know. You know what I'd probably do? I'd probably say that my name was Lord Voldemort. And then when people said here's the thing. No, it's a bit. Yeah. It would make me seem unbalanced and weird. When people called me Lord Voldemort, they go, "Oh no, please don't kill us, Lord Voldemort." And I go, "Hey, Lord Voldemort's my dad's name. I'm Tom Riddle." Yes, that would be perfect. That would be just the best.
Yeah, they're like, "I don't think his dad's name was Lord Voldemort."
I know for a fact his name is not Tom Riddle. Why? I don't understand what's happening. And then boom, they're dead. I used magic on them.
No witnesses, so that joke's always fresh.
Always fresh. Every single time. Yeah, so Voldemort's going to attack Hogwarts because Harry Potter's there, so Hogwarts goes, shields up, red alert. They go full...
Harry Potter's randomly searching the entire castle for something, and he's not quite sure of what it is.
Yeah, well, Ron and Hermione go down to actually destroy the one that they have with...
Yeah.
The basilisk tooth or whatever.
Yeah.
Harry just is, I'm going to go to the common room of, was it Ravenclaw?
Yeah. Trying to find this again, item that's been lost for hundreds of years. Decades, I guess.
Luna, of course, solves it.
Yeah, she has to remind him that, yeah. Yep. Yeah, there's a thing as ghosts in this castle, so...
They've been here for so long.
The person who owns it. She's like, she's probably never even been to that wing of the castle before, but she knows that ghost and has talked to her.
Well, no, she's definitely talked to this ghost before in person, I guess, or in person.
I just wish they had asked Moaning Myrtle where it was.
I know, you're big on Moaning Myrtle.
There's too many ghost characters, okay? We need a core group of ghost characters. Moaning Myrtle, you can't just introduce her in a couple of movies and ignore her the rest of the time, okay? She's alone, thinking about her own death in that bathroom, scoping doinkers.
Well, that's the thing. They upped the doinker ante. They had her scoping out his full doink sitch, right?
Yeah.
But now there's, like, the majority of the Order of the Phoenix has either been Harry or seen Harry's doink. Seeing his doink. Maybe I think doink is something you do with a doinker. To doink.
Doink is a verb, yeah.
Sorry. Yeah.
And they had a perfect opportunity because they could have, because they have to go to the Chamber of Secrets to get that basilisk's tooth.
Yeah.
They could have just brought Harry along and talked to Moaning Myrtle. And she could have used that whiny, annoying voice.
Yeah. It's a terrible voice.
But no, they use some other ghost. That's fine.
And then, he talks to the ghost and they destroy. That comes a little bit later, I think. Let me check my notes. Yeah, okay. So they cut to Voldemort standing outside with like this massive horde of Death Eaters.
Like so many.
Well, I'm imagining some of them are just there because like I don't know what else was going on that night, right? Like yeah. I mean, well really, like you could probably just turn into one of those smoke teleport ghosts and fly around, right? And look threatening.
Yeah.
And like you'd probably get a pass from Voldemort on that. Like I feel like he's into showmanship.
How many of those people thought they were going to a Quidditch match?
Yeah. Point? Yeah.
At least one or two, like in the back, you know?
Or maybe they thought it was a goblin lynching mob. I'm just saying.
Those are sizable numbers for for Dark Lord Voldemort. Somebody was trying to overthrow our government, uh-huh. And they called themselves Dark Lord something.
Yeah.
Would you be like, all right, you know what? Prove your case. And then be like, I think you got some good ideas. Let's go murder some children at a high school.
Well, what I'm imagining is, I mean, first of all, no, I would not. But what I'm imagining is there's a really high incident of like just total sociopaths or maybe psychopaths. And I want to be clear, when I say psychopath or sociopath, I'm not using those to
put down psychopaths.
Yeah, be mean to real world people who are psychopaths or sociopaths. Yeah. I just want to, you know, people suffer from this condition, Jeff.
Yeah.
We're just doing it for fun. This is all about wizards. But I'm imagining in the wizarding world, like, there's got to be a higher number of sociopaths and psychopaths. Yeah. One, you can cast a spell to make anybody do whatever you want. You can kill with two words.
Yeah.
You can torture with one word. Like.
And I think we were right about the killing curse being used too casually, and that's why it has to be banned, because it's used so casually by Voldemort to, like, kill somebody who's, like, spoke. I was like, just kill him. He's you're dead. Anybody else?
That's another thing I wanted to talk about. When we see Voldemort outside with all these Death Eaters, he's like, all right, we're going to attack now. And then just some random Death Eater, I don't remember if we've seen him before or not, but some random Death Eater just like, maybe it would be better to wait. And that's, like, he doesn't say to wait for what.
Yeah.
Voldemort gives the school an hour. Like, he's a supervillain. Like, in a... You have 1 hour. Yeah, but this guy is just like, maybe let's wait. And like, that scene takes, like, a full minute. It's Voldemort looking, and then he says a thing or two, and then this guy says a thing, and then Voldemort looks at him, and then turns back away, and then gives the order. It's so much wasted time. We didn't need a single piece of that. We needed 5 seconds of Voldemort being like, oh, well, I guess they're not going to give us Harry. All right, attack. Boom, done. Start the attack. It was frustrating. Yeah. I'm sorry.
No. And then his other plan is to stop the fighting because he's winning, and then tell them, you know what, you guys did great, you guys are amazing. Just have Harry Potter meet me outside.
Hey, class act, okay? He stops and he says, you know what, I don't want to see any more wizards die. Gonna give you the night. Take care of your dead. Hey, that's a respectable thing to do. I don't think a lot of generals would do that, okay? They always press the advantage.
It's a classic domestic abuse move. Listen, I'm sorry I hit you. I just want us to heal.
But what if he's actually sorry? What if he's actually sorry, though, you know?
He's not.
I know, yeah. You're right. I should break up with him. It's just you don't know him like I do. So that's not meant to make fun of people who have actually been in abusive relationships. You know, we're having fun here. We're just joking around.
We're talking about wizard abusive relationships. We're
talking about wizards. This guy doesn't have a nose, you know. So when they're getting ready for the attack, Lupin and Kingsley are hanging out talking, and Lupin quotes himself like a total in-control boss. He lays down some fucking wisdom, and then someone goes, "Who said that?" And he goes, "I fucking said it, dude. You're welcome." He's the Order's version. He's the Order of the Phoenix's version of Lucius Malfoy. Yeah. I want to get those two in a room and then just let them fucking talk. That's the big missed opportunity in this film.
That's the missed opportunity.
There were a lot, but that's the one that I would have liked to see kind of really
played out.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah, so Harry finds the diadem or whatever, and then he's going to find Ron and Hermione. And it's been like, again, it's been like half an hour. There's still kids running all over the halls for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
Down in the Chamber of Secrets, destroying a piece of a man's soul really gets Ron and Hermione going.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, boy. Lights those fires.
Just something about a giant snake skeleton and killing a piece of somebody's soul that really, you know, gets the blood flowing.
Yeah, and the furious screaming of this soul as it is condemned to the afterlife. Neville also kind of made a little randy by combat.
Yeah.
Because he asks as he's going by, he's like, he's going to look for Luna. Yeah. Yeah. Ginny and Harry, too, actually. In like the middle of their combat. I don't know, just the fucking literal bloodlust of these kids is...
Yeah.
Later on, Ron is able to impress Hermione by remembering a thing she said. That is not a healthy relationship. That is not... You remembered a single thing I said? Aww.
I mean, you know, from personal experience, once you set that bar low, it's pretty easy.
Oh, you got a real Ron and Hermione thing going? Is that what I'm hearing?
Oh, yeah.
So how many pieces of a soul have you guys killed?
Holly and I, collectively?
Yeah, yeah. Well, together, you know. What else happens in this dreadful bore of a film?
Well, he talks to a ghost until the ghost riddles her way into telling Harry Potter it's in the Room of Requirement.
Yep. Yep.
Where everybody hides everything, and yet we do know that there's an Accio spell for normal things, that he could just go Accio Potions Book, and he could be using those killing curses he learned from Snape.
I was going to say, I was surprised he didn't find that book and then find another murder spell in it that he used right away on, like, another teenager or something. So, the Room of Requirement, there's... The first vision we get of it here, there's, like, a couple small animals. There has to be, like, a whole ecosystem of small animals trapped in the Room of Requirement because they don't know how to ask to get out because they're animals, not people. And they're all dead now because they burned that fucker to the ground.
And just by closing the door, they've saved the rest of the school from burning down.
Yeah. They go in to look for the diadem. Draco and two of his buddies are there who seem more evil than him.
Yeah.
that one kid who's like, "Go ahead, do it, Malfoy. Don't be a prat." And I was like, "Whoa, you're talking about murdering a dude. Like, you're not..." What are these kids learning?
The Hogwarts kids aren't much better.
It's such a disappointment. Such a disappointment. Oh, yeah. Well, these kids throw some spells, and then Ron, furious that these Slytherin students dared to attack Hermione after she attacked them, instead of using spells, he chases after them like he's going to beat them to death with his wand. Like the dull-witted thug that he is.
He's the back end of it to just fucking pound their skull in.
So they burn this down. Harry saves Draco for literally no reason. There's no reason for him to do that.
Yeah.
Or, well, Draco didn't rat him out, but...
Yeah, but he still set an entire room on fire while Harry Potter was trying to get something.
Yeah. Like, the dude's just trying to pick up some jewelry in this room. Like, no one else was using it. It's just there.
Yeah, what's the big deal?
Yeah. What else? I'm remembering watching the movie and being bored by it.
Yeah.
I know that's not great, but...
It happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, they get out of there. Voldemort breaks down the force field that the teacher set up. They start fighting in there. Voldemort says, we're going to retreat. And you just think about, you know, sending Harry Potter out in the woods. I'll be here to kill him. That's after he goes to the boathouse. And, just like, slowly goes, Snape, slowly leads Snape to the idea that he's going to have to kill you. You're going to have to be killed by me, Snape. I'm sorry. I really need this wand to work.
I had so many questions. Killing
Harry Potter like I thought I would.
Yeah, I had so many questions about that. Like, so Voldemort's like, I need to kill you, Snape, so that the wand obeys me and has no other master. And Snape's like, okay. It's not cool. So Voldemort does, like, the slash spell, and he slashes part of Snape's, like, right at his collarbone down onto his chest, I think.
Yeah.
But then he orders Nagini, his serpent, to kill Snape.
Yeah.
Doesn't that mean that the wand would become Nagini's?
Well, Nagini's not a wizard, okay?
I don't know, man.
It was Voldemort who disarmed Snape at that point, okay?
Oh, yeah, yeah, it does follow. But see, that doesn't match up with the story of the Deathly Hallows that we learned earlier.
No, not at all.
Right.
But it matches up with Harry's shitty excuse later.
The wand was actually mine. Through a series of complicated disarms. Yeah. And here's the thing.
If you disarm a wizard, you get all his wands.
You get all his wands. They change allegiance immediately. Wands are pieces of shit. They're total assholes. Yeah. Here's the thing, though. At that point in the movie, at the end, where he's talking about, and then he disarmed me, and then I disarmed him, and then his wand was mine.
Yeah.
What we could have had right there was the extended reveal, the Ocean's 11 reveal of how the whole plan was supposed to look like it was going to fail, but actually was succeeding the whole time. I just think it would have been a better movie at the end. Voldemort, well, no, that doesn't work. I was going to say Voldemort had lost all of his casino's money. And Bellatrix was in love with Harry now. But Voldemort already walks around in a robe with no shoes on, so I don't know.
Yeah.
The pause in the battle that Voldemort calls for also allows Harry to watch some of Snape's old home movies.
Which apparently you can either pull memories out from your temple, or you can cry them out like a little bitch.
Here's the thing, though. If you... Jeff, if I wanted to get memories of yours...
Yeah.
Could I just, like, say really mean things until you cried and then steal a tear or two?
I think so.
And then just watch some of your memories? That's... This fucking wizarding world is the darkest shit I've ever heard of.
Yeah. It's insane.
Oh my god. Although, I loved these Snape Home movies. Because over and over, we get Harry going, you know, don't talk shit about my dad. And we get a repeat of the best line in the whole franchise. Your father was a swine. So I've been waiting to use that in my real life.
Yeah.
I have had this void in my heart where I need to call someone a swine, and I just haven't had a good opportunity yet.
And in his memories, does she meet him in that tree? Does he live in that tree?
I don't know. I thought about that, too. Why is he just in that tree? Why is he just there?
He's been watching her for weeks. Safely from trees. You think he'd be kind of mad at Lily Potter for, you know, just dating someone from Gryffindor, even though they had some sort of great relationship.
I think they were soulmates. They never zoned.
Yeah. She friend-zoned him so hard, apparently, though.
Friend-zone's not a thing.
That's what I was going to say. It's not a thing, but apparently that's what happened.
Well, Severus Snape is
in the wizarding world, there is apparently such a thing as friend zoning.
No, there's not. There's not. No, it doesn't exist. I'm sorry. It doesn't. Friend zone doesn't exist. And if it does, it's awesome because friends are cool.
Yeah. Listen, I'm on your side about that. I'm just saying that's exactly what they portray in this movie is friend zoning. No. A thing that doesn't exist. Just like levitation, Patronuses, Death Eaters.
They had the same Patronus, Snape and Lily.
Yeah.
They were totally soulmates.
How many different Patronuses could there be? I mean, you get like 30 or 40 different styles of animals, and then what? You know, I guess slightly smaller giraffe than you or something? Like,
I thought that the Patronus itself, the animal form, was the most powerful.
Yeah.
But, like, we see Harry shoot that cannonball. We see them creating shields and pulses of light that repel Dementors. So I think there's, like, degrees. Ooh. So I'm imagining there's probably a bunch of wizards who can't make an animal at all.
Oh, okay.
I think we've probably already talked about this on the podcast, but I'm going to talk about it again because I love it. You and I both went on the Pottermore website and got sorted into houses, and we got our Patronus. What was your house?
Slytherin.
Mine was Slytherin as well. What was your Patronus?
Wild boar.
I got a shark. Oh,
fuck
it's
you.
It's so good.
The second I saw that little light pig jumping around, I was like, son of a bitch.
Wild boars are dangerous.
I know, but, you know, you never want to be, you know, your soul animal is a pig.
Yeah, fucked up. I get it.
They're dangerous, though. You're right.
On an intellectual level, I get it. On an emotional, I've always been a shark, so I don't really... Harry decides he's going to walk off into the woods and get killed. Because it turns out that his father was, in fact, a swine.
Yeah. And then he finds out Dumbledore definitely wanted him to get killed.
Yeah.
But he can't reveal in those memories that it's like a plan, he'll come back to life. He's going to be like, you have to come to the acceptance that you're going to die.
Yeah, it's really fucked up that Dumbledore enchants the Golden Snitch to only open at the words... I mean, he forces a teenager to say the words, I'm ready to die.
Yeah.
What an amazing principal of this middle high school. Look how good he is at his job.
You gotta break people down before you can build them up, you know what I mean?
How far do these kids need to be broken down? Like, boy oh boy, I don't know.
He doesn't bother to show up then either when the Resurrection Stone brings up everybody he really likes. Doesn't bother to bring up Dumbledore.
These films really make me feel the crushing weight of the ever-present dead all around us with their demands and expectations kind of really pressing in at all moments. So comforting.
Yeah.
To think you're being watched at all times.
How many different levels of ghosts can there be? There's ghosts that you can see and are stuck in Hogwarts. Yep. There's ghosts that you can't see that are constantly watching you. Yep. There are ghosts that wait inside your memory and show you little dying babies.
There's too many kinds of ghosts. None of them are good. None of them are good and helpful.
No.
Except, well, of course, Moaning Myrtle. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you notice Harry kind of gave his dad the cold shoulder when they showed up as ghosts after seeing all Snape's memories of him being a dickhead?
Jeff, his father was a swine.
Yeah. His father and mother weren't even standing together as ghosts.
Because they're not soulmates like Lily and Snape are. I think that if Lily had married Snape and they had a kid, they had Harry, then Harry's actual dad, whose name I don't remember...
His name is James.
James, thank you. His actual father, James Franco. If James had been the one who had to be like the Snape, where he pretended to be evil.
Yeah.
Right? He's like, I'm going to get on. I think he would be the Wormtail. He would be the bumbling idiot. Definitely. Instead of the competent, like, instead of the competent Snape that we actually got, I think James would have been like the sniveling coward.
Yeah, Dumbledore did not want to save Harry Potter's parents at all.
No, he
memories.
Didn't.
He's like, it doesn't say anything about a woman. It's fine. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
It's like, no, it's her baby son. So? He's like, so? Who cares?
So what? Prophecy just doesn't, it says a child.
Yeah. What will you do for me, Snape? Because I'm going to want everything.
I'm sorry, Snape. A child being in danger isn't enough to move me to action. What do I get out of this? The other thing about the ghosts when they show up is that his parents and Lupin and Sirius... Was it Lupin? Yeah, Lupin was there.
Yeah.
And Sirius all show up and tell him it's okay to die. Like,
yeah.
This, as far as I'm concerned, it's, this like is such...
it's faster than falling asleep.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it doesn't hurt at all. Don't fear death whatsoever, child.
Don't worry
this
about it.
This is such an obvious ploy by Dumbledore.
He might torture you first.
Yeah. Such an obvious
Those aren't even real ghosts. Those are just fucking things Dumbledore set up.
Just that he enchanted the stone to make Harry see whatever he wanted to see in order to convince Harry to die by Voldemort's hand.
Absolutely.
Which, again, the dude is a great wizard. He's a real piece of shit as a person, but that is talking about forward thinking.
Yeah.
Whew. Also, like, good job, Harry. Just dropped that insanely powerful artifact from ancient times. Given to a wizard by death itself. Just drop that on the forest floor when you're done with it, you fucking moron.
And don't make a great entrance when you're going to die to Voldemort by walking up there in your invisibility cloak and then taking it off right in front of him. You know?
Really dramatic. Yeah.
Yeah. You have all these tools at your disposal to be amazing, but you're just not doing it.
Well, he's not really into showmanship. You know, he's more into the murder and chaos that he was raised on.
If it was Snape's kid, it would have been into it.
So, oh, man. If he was Snape's kid, he would have, like, walked up with the fucking invisibility cloak held up in front of his face like a fucking vampire, so you can only see, like, his eyes. It would have been all cape swirls and serious looks. God! Fuck James Potter. This piece of shit.
This swine.
He is swine. All right, so Voldemort is literally just standing in the woods, like just hanging out. There's no fire. There's no tents. He's just standing around in the woods. I don't know how he expects Harry to know where he is.
I know.
He's got no guards posted because Harry literally walks directly up to him.
Yeah, they're standing around like, I don't think he's going to come. You think he's going to come? I don't think he's going to come.
I don't think he's going to come. Hagrid, we have Hagrid. Well, I don't think he knows where Hagrid is. Can he find Hagrid? I don't think he can find Hagrid.
No, yeah, no one gave a shit that Hagrid was missing, apparently.
Right? Yeah.
No one's like, oh my god, where's Hagrid?
He's not even mentioned until we see him there.
No one gives a shit. Who's been watching his older brother, or his brother in the woods, you know?
I don't think anyone. I think his brother's dead. I think the spiders got to him. You see those spiders attacking the castle with Voldemort?
Oh, yeah.
His brother's way dead. So Harry dies, quote-unquote. Heaven is only accessible by train, apparently. and let me just... Here, I just... Like, we're not idiots, right? Like, just for people listening, we get that this is supposed to mirror kind of the fear and anticipation and excitement and all the confusing, strange things that Potter felt in the first movie when he was first going to Hogwarts. Like, that's... Uh-huh. Right? Like, he's going... This is a representation of the anticipation of the unknown, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of mirroring. Here's the first movie. He was afraid to go to Hogwarts. He didn't know what it was going to be. Here's the last movie. He said he's ready to die, but he's still kind of anxious. He doesn't... Like, we get that. But also...
I definitely get that before you said it.
All right. But, I mean... Also, it just doesn't make any... It's just stupid. I don't get it.
Yeah.
Like, he shows up in a train station, King's Cross, and Dumbledore's there, and a slimy Voldemort baby is there, which no one tries to help.
Or console while they die. While he dies, maybe close his eyes, you know?
What if he could be redeemed?
Yeah.
Maybe he can't, but if they think he's evil, I mean, right before you die is a good time to try.
Yeah, and why did Voldemort himself have to kill that part of himself in Harry Potter? That sentence made sense, I swear. Why did Voldemort had to be the one to kill Harry, so he kills himself? You should have just fucking laid him out at Hogwarts the first moment you realized it was a Horcrux, and then brought him back to life, then. I'm like, now he's not going to be able to read your mind, thank God.
As soon as Dumbledore has the Resurrection Stone, he just goes to the the Gryffindor apartment thing, like the dorms. Yeah. And Avada Kedavra, and pop the stone in your mouth, and you're back. Okay, excellent, Harry.
Yeah, he goes in there sleeping. Ron kind of wakes up, and Dumbledore just gives him the puts a pillow over Harry Potter's face till he dies. And then Ron's freaking out. He goes, no, hold on. I just killed a part of Voldemort. Don't worry.
Ron, go fight those spiders in your dreams, Ron. Wait. Yeah. Dumbledore would wait until Ron's traumatized. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
He definitely would. What else?
But Dumbledore's trying to say, yeah, if you want to stay dead, just stay dead. It's fine.
Pretty chill, I guess, but well, it's obviously not.
You can live in this train station forever.
Yeah. You've got a baby in agony to keep you company. Yeah. Oh, Harry also doesn't wear glasses in the afterlife. For no reason, I guess. I don't know.
It's the afterlife. Do you tell me when I'm a ghost, I still have to wear glasses? Because I'll...
I mean, aren't they kind of a big part of his look, though? What if he wanted them?
You think Nearly Headless Nick had glasses, and now he just can't wear them because he's...
Yeah, maybe.
Because you don't have to worry about bumping into things, right? You just go right through them.
Yeah. Well, that's a good point. I don't know. I want there to be room in heaven for some stylistic choices, okay?
All right. No, that's fair. That's fair.
How about this, okay? So, Harry's dead. And Voldemort brings all of his Death Eaters straight up to Hogwarts, right? They cross the bridge. They make Hagrid carry his little boy corpse or whatever.
Yeah. They make a Malfoy check to see if he's dead and have his best friend carry him so that they can definitely not tell if he's dead or not.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. When Mrs. Malfoy, whose first name I don't know, checks and she asks,
Lucinda?
Like, okay. Is it?
No, I don't. Yeah. No, it would be funny to have Lucius and Lucinda. Come on.
No, I get it. I got it. Jeff, I got it right away. I just didn't... you know.
Yeah, it's fine.
When she asks, is my son alive? Harry could just lie to her. Like, he could have just left Draco in the room of requirement. He'd be like, oh, he's a fucking burned up corpse. No, he's definitely alive, lady.
Yeah, I tucked him in. He's sleeping well.
He's sleeping.
Also, here's the other thing. Harry could have no fucking idea. You know how many wizards are shooting lasers there?
Yeah. So really, he's just saying, yeah, the last time I saw him, he was alive. Goodbye. I ran away. I don't know how he is. But yeah, so they bring him, and all the Hogwarts people come outside, and Voldemort does... Harry is dead, and from now on, you can put your faith in me.
And... You don't go after you've like killed half the people at that school. You don't go right back there with their dead hero's body and try to win hearts and minds.
No. You know what I mean? Well, I love when Neville gives his little speech. It's such a bleak worldview. What a cool lesson to learn in high school. It doesn't matter if our hero's dead.
Yeah. Sean, every year you were in high school, at least one person died every year at our school. I mean, you probably think the same way, right?
Probably, yeah.
I mean, they all died in a boat, didn't they, after you graduated?
As far as I'm concerned, everyone I went to high school with that I don't still talk to died in a boat. Accident. Probably maybe a fire, maybe it just sank, all hands went down on deck. I don't know. It's unclear.
Tragic. There's no survivors, so we don't know what really happened.
Yeah, we'll never know. I don't think they put black boxes on boats, you know?
So, he's looking to win over the hearts and minds of people. He sees Neville, someone who looks like they've just been through a lot of shit and killed a lot of Death Eaters.
Yeah.
Like, his head's bleeding, he's limping.
Yeah.
You know? And he steps forward and Voldemort laughs? It doesn't even know his name yet? Like, how does Voldemort know that guy's the butt of the joke?
It's just easy to tell with Neville.
Hey, thanks for wanting to join my group. You look like a real piece of shit.
Well, maybe they all remember his parents.
Yeah, they're laughing about torturing his parents.
Yeah, they're all just laughing about torturing his parents. I don't know.
Your mom's an ugly crier.
All right, come on. What's the matter with you? Harry, surprise, he's alive.
He falls to the ground. He doesn't even, like, jump out on his feet. He falls to the ground.
Yeah.
So graceful.
Well, he doesn't want Hagrid to get too excited and crush him and actually kill him by giving him a hug.
Yeah. They could have done like the Wolverine and what's his face move, and he could have shot him right at Voldemort.
Yeah. Cannonball Spot special, I think. Right, fastball special, yeah. Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, fastball special, yeah. Boom, wand right in the eye.
Would have ended it faster, which I would have appreciated. So they have this, the Death Eaters attack, and they have this long thing, and the Malfoys just leave, which I really liked.
Yeah.
And you gotta have sympathy for Mrs. Malfoy, because, like, imagine the past year for her. Yeah. Like, yeah, fine, Lucius, your boss can come to dinner, and then, like, a couple days later, like, Lucius, I've had enough. Wormtail's always talking about his waifu, and he won't stop saying friendship is magic. They have got to go.
I mean, I thought it was a little strange at first when he told you your son had to kill Dumbledore, but we went along with it, and...
The werewolves are shitting all over the yard, and they're not picking up after themselves.
We barely have any room in the dungeon, okay? What if we need to enslave somebody?
Crowded. It's crowded. Where am I supposed to stare dramatically into a fireplace now?
Wormtail changed the Wi-Fi password to Pwn69420. Okay.
He's talking about having a PonyCon here, and he's gonna. I'm not having it. Dark Lords of Magic, I will accept, but I will not have my son exposed to these friendship is magic morons. It's not happening.
You know, I'm not gonna sit there and just pretend like I'm paying attention when he tries to explain to me how great that show is. Okay, it's for children, Muggle children.
Oh man, so that's like been her life for at least a year. Yeah. Maybe longer, we don't know.
The second Snape got sick of him in Snape's house.
Yeah, that's probably why. Oh, that's why, probably why they sent him to Snape's house.
He has no place to live.
He has no. Yeah. Mrs. Malfoy threw him out. She's like, no, get out. None of this My Little Pony bullshit around my poor Draco. He's got enough to think about murdering a principal.
He's already in the emo house. Okay, we can't have this.
Have you seen where he lives at school? It's dark. It looks wet all the time. There's greenish backlighting. No, this is absurd.
And I dated a guy from Gryffindor once. Okay, their dorms are nice.
Big pleasant fireplace that you can talk to people in. Yeah. Lush beds. So Voldemort and Harry are fighting, and we see why Voldemort wears this robe all the time, because it has a weird robe spell that, like, reaches out and grabs Potter and slaps him around.
You know, Wormtail showed him that spell after watching some creepy Japanese anime about squids.
Oh, definitely. Oh man, like, he walked in on, and Wormtail was like, oh, get out, this is my private
time.
I'm researching new spells, my lord. And Voldemort's like, alright, and he goes out and he's like, he looks down at his robe,
I'd be using that robe to grab everything.
Yeah, and that robe spell essentially pulls Harry in close enough so that Voldemort can actually slap and kick him. Yeah. He drops the pretense that he wants to use magic. He's like slapping him, he's kicking him around. It's amazing. I loved it.
Well, it's going to be infuriating to use the killing curse on somebody twice and it not work.
Yeah, oh, he's third time's the charm, though.
Yeah.
Right?
The second time he was so confident it was going to work, he did it in front of all his friends, and it still didn't work.
I forgot about that.
How embarrassing. All
his friends were watching. Yeah, that's so embarrassing.
He's trying to strangle the shit out of Harry Potter now. He's going to bring him close. Harry says, he grabs Voldemort, and he says, let's finish this how we started it, together.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I guess if you start something, yeah, you're doing it together. Or you were a baby. You were like a thing at that time.
Well, Voldemort already had Horcruxes at that point, so Voldemort definitely started it without him. But this is just another Harry needs to be the center of everything. Yeah. We started this Voldemort. It's like, nah, dude. No, yeah. I was immortal before you were born. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. Just as like Harry Potter jumps them off of that, the side of the building, Voldemort was like, wow, that's a little dramatic.
Well, I thought I was being theatrical with my robe spell, but you've...
Yeah, but even after he kills the Horcrux that's inside of Harry Potter, as they're jumping and flying, their faces meld together and, like, weird shit. Like, what was going on there? What happened?
So what's going on there is that the movie is again wasting our time with nonsensical bullshit that doesn't mean anything. I mean, again, we're not dumb. We get it. Like, Harry's been trying to darker, the dark side. Well, come on. He used one of the forbidden curses on a dude. Like... Mm.
Whatever takes you to 10.
Yeah, exactly. He's kind of taken that path a little bit, so it's, you know. Anyway, Harry wins by the power of wanting it more, I think.
Yeah, he wanted it more, so when the wand got knocked out of his hand, Voldemort was just dead. Was it because he didn't have any of his soul inside of that body? It was the last piece was in Nagini?
Well, Nagini, first of all, and...
Nagini?
Yeah, Neville kills the snake... Comes out of nowhere, out of left field. He ambushes the snake. It's not a fair fight at all.
No, not even a little bit.
And then Harry shoots Voldemort even harder than he did the first time. And this is, I think, this is the only time Harry learns anything on his own. I think he learns how to turn people's entire bodies to ash at range. See, before he didn't know how to do that. He had to be touching them with his hands. But now he can do it at a distance of at least 30 feet. Maybe 60, you know? So after that, Jeff, we get a scene of them walking back in. Mm-hmm. And who do we see in the middle ground having to clean up this entire mess with a single broom?
Filch, yeah.
I forgot his name. I just said the janitor. Yeah. Filch.
Argus Filch.
It sure would be nice if literally any other person knew a cleanup spell, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Any other... if the only. They had cat, like, if only Dumbledore had shared one part of that spell with any student. Yeah.
Can Filch get a break, though, for, like, a day? Can't they clean that up tomorrow? You know what I mean? I'm sure they're not going to class.
He's a magicless squib. He's a second-class citizen. He's there to serve the wizards. Ron, later when they're talking about the Elder Wand, Ron is like, because he's an idiot, I think. He's like, oh, wow, the Elder Wand, that with that, we could be invincible. It's like, all right, I think Voldemort, first of all, would like to have a word with you, because you just watched him die, like, an hour ago, and he had the Elder Wand. So, and Harry decides to break it instead of using it, and he looks so impressed with himself. He's so smug about it. He looks so impressed.
Yeah. He's like, one last chance to impress Hermione enough to just get it in. And then I'll settle down with Ginny.
Here's the thing, though. What kind of life is Harry going to have? Like, what job is ever going to provide the kind of satisfaction that killing your sworn blood enemy from birth is ever going to give you? Talk about peaking young. Like,
yeah,
he's never going to... It's all boring desk stuff from now on. Like,
well, Sean, you know how much gold he has, right? He doesn't have to work. Right?
Yeah, well, he didn't have to work in the first place. Remember, they could have just left the Tri-County area with that gold. He could have just moved to France and gone to that girls' school.
He could have thought of Ron's needs for once. Okay, you see all the butts on those girls.
I like it when they walk. I'm so glad the movie was done.
It's not done, okay? Because they smash cut to 19 years later.
Oh, boy, I forgot about that. Yeah. You're a dad, Harry.
You're going to see everyone dropping off their kids to Hogwarts. Like, I don't know. Maybe I'd choose a different school if I had that kind of experience at Hogwarts.
Yeah. Yeah. You know who I don't see there, though?
Who?
Neville and Luna. So I guess that relationship didn't really last, did it?
They're smart enough not to bring kids into this wizarding world.
That's a good point, yeah. But who's going to help Luna continue her dad's zine? Got to update it for the modern day.
Ollivander's got nothing to do.
Ollivander's dead. It's been 19 years. That dude was old.
That's true.
And tortured. And my guess is they left him at that beach house with no help. Actually, I bet Ollivander digs up Dobby's corpse just to have something to eat before he starves to death.
His firstborn kid is Albus Severus Potter, right?
Yeah.
What a terrible name.
All right, so the first guy you're named for spent his entire life manipulating me to murder another wizard. That's it. I was literally a weapon for him.
The second guy lived his life miserable because he was hung up on a girl.
Your grandmother? the second guy you're named after helped me correctly identify my father as a swine. Yeah. Albus Severus Potter, your grandfather was a swine.
You think he's like, you know, just Accio Potions book. Go to the room requirement. Oh, no, wait. I burned that place down. Wait. You know what? You'll figure it out.
Just be good at potions, I guess. Yeah. I cheated my way through it, but yeah, the guy that wrote the notes in that book is dead. Kind of got him killed. Whoops, sorry. And then I destroyed the book itself. Also, the room requirement doesn't exist, so... Oh, man, I really fucked that school up.
I guess you could hang out in the Chamber of Secrets. There's nothing really going on down there, but you gotta learn Parseltongue, which I'm sure I don't know how to speak anymore because Voldemort's not into me, but Ron could teach you because he's up most nights while we were rooming together because of the nightmares about the giant spiders in the woods. Have a great night.
He's got perpetual... That's why he's so dumb. He's got perpetual insomnia. He can't think straight. Terrified of these spiders. What else? Do you have any closing thoughts on...
No. I'm just... You think your name is Kid Hagrid, maybe? His fucking best and only adult friend there.
Yeah. Like, the only person who legit ever worried for Harry. Not wanting to use him as a tool. Didn't want to spend his last breath looking into his eyes and saying creepy things about his mom.
Yeah. He's about to die. He's like, no, look at me. You have your mother's eyes.
You got your mom's eyes, kid. You got your mom's eyes. Mm. Take my tears and look at my memories. It's like, whoa, dude, you know what? Kind of coming on a little strong.
Snape wasn't a professor back then, but every other, like, really old professor also said that about Harry Potter and his eyes being his mom's eyes. And we know Severus Snape was in love with Lily. So I'm guessing all these teachers were also creepily in love with Lily as well.
Well, let's see. Slughorn had to collect her, right? Who else was there?
I mean, Albus wasn't going to stop her from being killed, but I think he mentioned that and then Lupin's mentioned it.
Oh, Lupin, right, yeah.
I want to say...
Lupin goes to Harry, Harry, you have your mother's eyes. End quote, Lupin. He said that, Harry. I did. I would seriously watch a short film about Remus Lupin just hanging out in a room with Lucius Malfoy and they just say dope shit. Yeah. That would be amazing. Candy. No transitions. This week.
No transitions.
The score bar.
We did Toffee Part 2.
Yeah. Well, I think it followed well with the theme, right? We got Deathly Hallows 1 and 2. Now we got Toffee Candy Bars 1 and 2. Last week we had Heath Bars. I didn't like them. Jeff, I think you did.
Yeah.
So score. right off the bat, one solid brick again.
Yeah, it was harder to break than the Heath bar.
It was, yes. I noticed that as well.
Measurably so. I was afraid.
Yeah, so the first one I bit into and had to snap off in my mouth, and then I did not do that again because it didn't feel good.
No.
It didn't hurt. It just felt like, no, this is the wrong way to do it. So then I just broke it up in the package. Yeah. How'd you like it? You give me your review. You go first.
It was all right. I didn't like it as much as a Heath bar, but I think it's because it was so much harder to bite into, and Heath bar is already so hard to bite into. Taste-wise, I mean, it tasted pretty similar, if not almost identical. to a Heath Bar, but yeah, texture-wise, so, it was a little worse.
The Score Bar didn't come out until, like, the 1980s. And I think it was so they're
totally ripping off.
It was made to compete with the Heath Bar, but then the Hershey's company, which makes the Score Bar, later bought the company that owned Heath, and then they just made both of them for whatever reason.
Why make both of them, yeah?
I don't know.
Just discontinue one.
Yeah, like pick one and stick, but nope. I thought that the Score Bar was also it was as bad as the Heath Bar. Didn't like it.
Yeah.
I thought it was too sweet, both the chocolate and the toffee, way too sweet. Just like somebody had a Nerf gun and the Nerf bullet was made entirely of sugar, and they shot it right into my mouth. I didn't like it.
Yeah, it was definitely worse than Heath.
Coated my teeth again in that sugar coating. I don't like that. I hate that actually. Mm. There wasn't a lot of history that I could look up on the Score Bar. Just basically, yeah. It started being made in the 1980s to compete with the Heath Bar, and now both Score and Heath are owned by the same company, the Hershey Company.
And they did you find it harder to find a Score Bar than a Heath Bar?
No, I did not. I found it easier, actually.
Really?
Yeah. CVS carried the Score Bar.
Really?
Yeah.
The place I went to had Heath Bars by the register,
yep.
And I had to find Score Bars in a section labeled bulk foods.
So. Bulk foods? How many Score Bars did you have to buy?
I only bought two.
Okay. Because
it was like an area where you could like pour out candy and get it by the pound and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Huh.
Yeah.
No, I went to the local CVS and the Score Bar was right at the counter. And the Heath Bar last time I was not at CVS at all. I had to go to a different store, but it was also at the counter, so... I noticed on the packaging of the Score Bar, delicious chilled, and I cannot imagine that my teeth could make it through this fucking thing if it was frozen.
Yeah.
Or even just colder and denser. Like, I literally don't know how I would eat it.
Are there some candies that you'll eat chilled that you, like, will throw in the refrigerator?
Yeah, dog. Frozen Reese's Peanut Butter Cups?
Mm-hmm.
Fucking amazing. Have you? You've had one. You've had one, Jeff.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
So good. That's about it.
I usually keep my Kit Kats in there.
I was gonna say I've had Kit Kats out of the refrigerator. I've never frozen them.
Yeah.
But they're pretty good that way.
Yeah.
Something about the chocolate.
I haven't had my second Score Bar yet. Maybe I'll try it frozen and see if I can break a tooth.
You definitely will.
Maybe the toffee gets softer when it's frozen.
Doesn't that's
it's
not
genetically engineered.
Oh, that's fair. That might be yeah.
If I'm reading this Wikipedia entry right, it says Score is Swedish for shoes.
Yeah, I saw that too, but I couldn't really find anything to back it up, so
yeah, because this needs citation and verification. But yeah.
Jeff, I've done all the research, buddy. I don't know. So, where would you rank this? I'm gonna put it like right with the Heath Bar. Down under Twizzlers for me.
I'm going to put it under the Heath Bar, but above Necco Wafers for me.
Nope. Necco Wafers are 1,000 times better. You are wrong, sir.
I don't know. I'm a fan of chocolate, so if I have a chance for chocolate over chalk, then I...
Sugar chalk. That. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah.
Are we done? Are we done? Are we done now?
I think so.
If you want, for some reason, and I don't know why you would, but if you want to contact us, you can do it with headsuppod@gmail.com.
Yeah.
If you want to send us an email. If you'd like to contact us on Twitter, it's @headsuppod. Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
There's an Instagram, I believe.
Yeah.
What else?
Heads Up Pod and Instagram.
Okay. On Instagram, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's it?
I think that's it. That's we're finally done with these Harry Potter movies.
I know. We're going to watch something different for next time, and it's going to not be Harry Potter, and I'm so excited. And if we eat another candy that is a solid bar of toffee, I am going to reach through the internet and punch you in the face. These were bad candy bars. How dare you? They're so thick.
They are bad.
Coat your teeth.
Yeah.
I'm picking the next candy. Not right now, but I'm picking it. I'm picking it.
You can pick the next 10, man. Go for it.
No, I'm not picking the next 10. That's too much of a burden. Don't put that on me. Don't put that on me. All right. Well, this has been the Heads Up Podcast with Jeff and Sean. I'm Sean.
I'm Jeff.
That's Jeff.
I have allergies.
Jeff has allergies. I'm the second one. I don't want that to be just my tag. I'm not just the second one. I'm not just the second one. I'm also the fat one. Yes. That'll do for this ep. Thanks for listening, and toodles.
Toodles.
Your father was a swine.
Or you can cry him out like a little bitch.